beloved family and friends of Lorraine Ulmer, this text really gets at the heart of it, doesn't it? It speaks to all of us. Because all of us know, even as David is saying here, that we're vapor. We are here today and we are gone tomorrow. James picks up on that in James chapter 4, and he's drawing from this psalm, as it were, as saying that man is a vapor. We go around and we think we're going to go to this city and labor here and earn a living and buy and sell, make a profit. And you don't know what your life is. But man, who has few of days and is full of troubles, is a boaster. Man is a proud, arrogant, wretched boaster. And you know it. Every one of us in here knows it. We've done it, and everybody around us does it, and it is ugly, and it's an abomination in the sight of God. We boast about what we're going to do today or tomorrow. We boast about our accomplishments. We are boastful, arrogant people. We walk around with our head stuck up in the air like we're going to live until I'm a certain age. I'm going to go until I'm 90 or 100. And you're not. Your life is not your own. God has predestined the day of your birth, and He has predestined also the day of your death. And it's coming. It's coming for each one of us. And you need not be a fool and not understand this, as the Bible relays this to us. And even in Psalm 90, teach me to know my end. Teach me how frail I am. Teach me to understand my days. To know and to have a heart of wisdom. I need to be taught. I need the Lord to teach me so that I don't fritter away my time in useless things, which many of us do. We don't put the first things first, the most important things. We don't prioritize. We live our lives in vain speculation, chasing after the things of this earth, accumulating more and more stuff. To give it to who? What does it matter when you die whether you had a big fat bank account? It's vain. It's useless. You ought to earn money so that you provide for the things that you have need of, but also that you might provide for others who have need. Especially in the Church of Jesus Christ, we are to do good to all men, but especially the household of faith. God gives us strength to get wealth, to be able then to provide for others who might have need. And so I'm not just concerned only about myself like the world is. Self-absorbed. It's all about me. I'm number one. Look out for number one. Forget about everybody else. You've seen the bumper sticker. The one who dies with the most toys wins. What an idiot. What a fool. That's mankind. Let me gather up all the toys and die. And you don't win. You win nothing. You lose. You're an idiot. Pursuing all the material things of life, and then you lose your soul. Jesus said it this way. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and then loses his soul? So here I translate to us our day, our time. What does it profit if you had all the money in the world, you could buy anything that you wanted to buy, and you lost your soul? It's a clanging cymbal. It's a big fat zero. It's nothing. And then you go to hell, and you suffer forever and ever and ever and ever to enjoy maybe 70, 80, 90 years of toys here on this earth. No, God has created mankind to serve Him. And man, because of sin, rebels and will not serve the true and living God. He won't have anybody rule over him. He wants to be his own master. You've seen it, maybe the poster. I'm the captain of my own ship. I'm the master of my own destiny. No, you're not. And you're a fool for thinking such. Your breath is in the hands of the Lord. And one moment in time, He is going to take that breath. You know, nobody wakes up in the morning and says, kisses their wife goodbye and said, I won't be coming home today. No, we arrogantly say, I'll see you later. And that later is not going to come for all of us. The analogy I like to use is like the egg timer. When you're conceived in the womb, that egg timer is turned up, and God has only given so much sand to every one of us. How much sand grains are in your hourglass? Are there 50? Are there 40? Are there 30? Are there 70 or 80? There's a finite number. There's a limited number. And there is a limited number for each one of us. And so your days are numbered. and you will fly away. And where will you be? Two destinations that the Bible reveals, heaven and hell. And mankind goes to one or the other. If you're not trusting in the only Savior Jesus and find refuge in Him, you're going to hell. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter about the vain boasting and the mocking that the world gives. It only matters what God says in His Word. Man is a fool. And man is more vain than vanity itself. And man comes up with false philosophies and ideology and psychology. Why? Because he is under the sway of the wicked one, the devil. And so he comes up with all of these things in hatred towards the true and living God. It's always amazing to me that the most militant atheist, which I don't believe there are any atheists, I believe they're just simply liars who are denying what they know in their heart to be true. If there is no God, why are you fighting tooth and nail so vociferously against the true and living God? It doesn't even make sense. I mean, if I told you there's little purple guys running around the moon, you wouldn't be fighting tooth and nail with me. You'd simply say, get him ready for the funny farm. Something wrong with that guy. But see, you know that God is. Every man does. And he suppresses the truth and unrighteousness. In this Psalm 39, which following Psalm 38, David is a man who's sick. He's ill. And he relays in this Psalm 39 that his illness is because of his sin. And he says that the Lord's hand is heavy upon him. And he's praying that the Lord would remove his hand and restore him. But he begins here, and he doesn't want to open his mouth in the beginning because he doesn't want to sin when the wicked are around. He doesn't want to hear them complaining or lamenting at God. And so he restrains his mouth as with a muzzle. He muzzles himself up. Would that people would do that today. Just shut up. Put the muzzle on and shut the mouth. Stop the complaining. Stop the backbiting. Stop constantly lamenting at God about your station in life and the things that the Lord brings into your life. It's sickening, especially for the believer, to do such. And every believer has fallen into that. And every believer must confess. And every believer must repent. And every believer must strive to honor God. So David says, I was mute with silence and I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred up. See, he needed to talk. We need to communicate. We need to be a people that come to the Lord in prayer. We need to cast our cares upon Him. God gives us a peace that transcends understanding when we come to Him and cast our burdens upon Him. And David is needing this. So he says, my heart was hot within me while I was meditating. He was meditating on the truth of God's Word, and it began to burn within him that he had to speak out. And so this is what he says. Lord, make me to know my end. Cause me to know. What David is saying here is that he doesn't realize and understand how frail and fragile he truly is, and he wants to be made to know this. I want to know how easy it is for me to perish, to simply die, to be turned back to dust. And you know, if you've ever been sick, whatever the sickness might have been, and you've been on your deathbed, maybe even in the hospital, you realize that, how frail and how fragile. You realize what a virus can do. Many of us in here who have had the COVID and have gone through that, and or pneumonia or any other of the virus, you know how easy it can take you out. It's amazing to me how something that you can't even see gets in your nose, your mouth, and next thing you know, you're doubled over on the floor crying like a baby from something that you can't even see. It's amazing, isn't it? And we walk around like King Kong, boastful on this earth as nothing can take us out, and you're gone in a minute. I've been doing a lot of hospital visits in Omaha as of late, visiting a friend there, and I noticed that the signs above the interstate speak about the number of deaths that have occurred on the interstate on Highway 80. And so I've probably been since October 30th, been going a couple times a week back and forth to Omaha, and I've noticed this sign. And when I started going, it was 182, and just this week, it was already 205. And there was one day that my wife and I went to Omaha, and as we returned, the four people had died before we even got back to that place again. You realize how fast people are dying? Every 2 seconds, someone dies. Now, we live in a world that's to our understanding, our comparison, it's large, it's huge. 8 billion people or so living on the planet. And there are babies being born all the time, and there are people dying every 2 seconds. So just the time that we've been in here, how many people have already died? And they've either gone, their soul, to heaven or to hell. And so David wants to know this. It's a great prayer. It's a humble prayer. It's realizing that I'm flesh. You're not the person that you once were. And you look at your pictures of what you used to be like. And you're not like that anymore. Your body is falling to the earth. You get up in the morning and now aches and pains and struggle. You can't see like you used to see. You're either wearing glasses this morning or you have contacts in, but you don't see like you once saw when you were younger. Because everything is wearing out. The book of Ecclesiastes relates this. It speaks about the grinders wearing out. What's that? That's your teeth. You can't eat like you used to eat. And many of you have false teeth. Why? Because the things wear out. Your dimness of sight, you can't see. You're afraid of heights. So you don't want to be in a place where you could be unstable because you can fall down. You also can't sleep. And a bird outside wakes you up in the middle of the night and you're frustrated by that. Little sounds that awaken you and you don't even have good hearing. But a bird can wake you up in the middle of the night. That's our life. It's fleeting. So David says, teach me the measure of my days. All right, I was born here and I'm going to die at a certain point. Now teach me, Lord, in between this time, how to live in a way that brings you glory. Teach me how to live in a way that's productive in the kingdom of Christ. Teach me how to live as a responsible human being that strives to bring glory to God and not to man. So that he might know how frail he is, David says. Do you know how frail you are? You're sitting here this morning, it's comfortable, but do you know how frail you are? Maybe you're a younger person here this morning. Do you know how frail you are? You know how you can be taken out in a moment in a car crash? A virus, cancer. Maybe there's cancer growing in you right now. Maybe your immune system all of a sudden becomes depleted and it can no longer fend off the foreign bodies that are in you that begin to grow. Isn't it amazing how somebody all of a sudden loses balance? They don't feel really any pain. They go to the hospital and they do a scan and they find a tumor in their brain the size of a grapefruit. How do you not know that? Because it just grows slowly, incrementally, until the point it begins to really disturb your motor skills. And they find this. And many times, it's too late. It's too late. It's over with. And then you begin looking at your life. Then you begin wondering how I've lived my life. Have I lived like the fools? Have I squandered the time that was given to me? Did I see the time as precious in the sight of the Lord? Was I a good steward of what God has given to me? And I will answer that question for myself, and I will say no. I have not been. I have not been the steward that I ought to be. I've wasted time that the Lord has given to me. I have not been cognizant of how precious time is that you can't get back. But my hope is not in me. My hope is not in my stewardship. My hope is not I've done this or I've done that. My hope is in none of that. I have no hope in that. There is no hope in that. The best works that man could bring are but filthy rags. And then he dies and he goes to hell to suffer the judgment of God against his sins and rebellion. My hope is in Christ. He is the only hope. You must abandon everything of you and look completely and solely to Him, because He is the only mediator between God and men. There is no other. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man, that's a universal negative application, absolutely no individual on this earth comes to the Father but by Him. And yet men are always trying to work their way into the kingdom, working their way before the presence of God. You can't do it. Jesus said He was the only way. There is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved but Jesus Christ. And if you don't come to Him, you are under the wrath and curse of God right now. Right now, God's wrath abides upon you. You read that even in the text of John 3. So David is wanting to know his end and his days. And he says, "You have made my days as handbreadths." You know what a handbreadth is? It's an ancient term. It's the span from here to here. Now, thinking about that imagery, that metaphor, I want to ask you this. This is the span of our life. Where are you at on that span? Well, you think to yourself, well, I'm 70 or 80 years old, so I'm probably over here. And then you say, because I'm 20 or 30, well, I'm probably way back over. No. You don't understand. You might be 30 and you might be right here. That's how quick our days are. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. So David is desiring to understand this. And he says, "My age is nothing before you." Every man at his best state. At his best state is vapor. You've seen vapor. You've seen fog. You've seen it as in the morning you get up and, you know, the ground is warm, the air is cool, and it creates this fog, this dense air, this water molecules up, and then the sun comes up and it's gone. Or you've boiled water on the stove. And you put it on there and you can see the steam coming up and it just ascends and all of a sudden it disappears into the air. David is saying that that's how our life is. Our life is just like at our best state. Why? Because at your best state, you can be taken out. You follow the newspaper, a lot of sports figures, and you can see what can happen in a sports figure. How he can all of a sudden get fortune and fame, and he goes off and he squanders and he gets into a car crash and he's 22 years old, you know, and he's making some ridiculous amount of money, and he wraps his car around a tree and he's gone. Specimen, physically speaking. You know, he pulls off his shirt, you see muscles coming out everywhere, and he's cut down in a moment. So don't ever have that presumptuous thought that I've got many days left. That's the arrogance of man. And if you're a young person here this morning, you don't know if today may be your last day. It's the last day for somebody throughout this whole world. It's the last day for others. So surely every man walks about like a shadow. He busies themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and he doesn't know who will take them, who will gather them. That was Solomon's lament. He had so much and he said, "Who's the fool that's going to get all my stuff?" Do you live for the stuff or do you live for the Lord? If you live for your stuff, you're going to lose everything. Everything that you've accumulated, you're going to lose it all. If you live for the Lord, if your life belongs to Him, you gain everything. Because everything that He has done and He has merited, He has achieved, He's done in the place of His people, and He has inherited all things, and He gives to His people as co-heirs. He shares the inheritance with His people. I don't have to strive for these things. I don't have to have a bucket list. I don't have to make it. Oh, I have to make it to a certain place. I need to go to Hawaii before I die. I don't want to go to France or Switzerland. I don't need to do any of that. Because in the consummation of all things, the earth belongs to the Lord in the fullness, and He gives it to His people And there's coming a time in the future. Oh, I'll visit all those places. It won't cost me a dime. Spend your money. Run. Run frantically. And lose it all. Or live for the glory of God and gain it all. And so this is what David closes with. What do I wait for? My hope is in you. Hope. My expectation is from God. My expectation is God fulfilling His covenant promises to His people. This is the promise that Jesus gave in John 5. He who hears my word and believes in Him who sent me has everlasting life and will not perish, but is passed from death into life and will nevermore come under condemnation. God loved the world, and He loved the world in this way that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. For the Father sent the Son in the world not to condemn the world, but that through Him the world might have life. The promise of the gospel. Come to me, Jesus said, you who are weary and heavy laden, weary of striving, weary of trying to think that you are righteous when you're not, weary of trusting in yourself or someone other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You're weary. No matter what you say, I can see it on your face. You're weary. You're struggling. And Jesus says, come. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And in me, you will find rest for your souls. Have you found rest for your soul? We desperately need rest for our souls. And Jesus declares that He is the only one that can provide that rest. Look to Him and be saved. And as Moses said, I set before you right now, right here, life and death. And Moses says, choose life. The New Testament reveals that life is in the Son. And he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life, but the wrath of God abides upon him forever. Choose life. Run to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall we pray?